Welcome to the Sunday Show with Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Welcome back, Neil.
Yeah, Chris, great to be back again on our usual spot. What a great week on numbers again, crashing the 100,000, and that's good. And here we are sitting under load shedding. It is as disappearing as the budget speech. So a shock to us, I think, Chris, but something we should never get used to at the end of the day.
Well, Niels, South Africans narrowly escaped a 2% VAT hike, only to be plunged into stage 6 load shedding again in the middle of the night. Let's start with that load shedding. Surely, with all the capacity that has been added, stage 6 should be very worrying, as it seems to indicate that there has been no change or no step change in performance.
Chris, I allude to load shedding. Like that uncle of yours that comes every Christmas dinner. We all know that he's a soothing, sporadic alcoholic. He sits in the corner with his mini jack in his pocket. But we know at one or other time he's going to fall off his chair. And we know that we try and hide him so that there's no embarrassment. But there's one thing you can't do. Wemyani is going to drink his brandy and he's going to pass out. So all of these stories that we've got about load shedding being gone, that it is totally under control, that the matters of what they say, stabilization and normalization of the grid, well, 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, the things just popped out, popped off, and there we are, that old good song, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. I watched this morning, Chris, as if it was an absolute comic farce. The members of Eskom trying to explain how they went from load shedding stage 3 yesterday to 6 morning. This is what he says. By absolute surprise, now this is verbatim, by absolute surprise, a mass amount of generation power was lost, up to 800 megawatt at one certain point of time. Now, Chris, either you are in control of something or you are not. The word suddenly is a major, major problem to me. It's like sitting in a submarine and suddenly there is a leak. Now, when you're sitting in a submarine and there's a leak, this isn't suddenly, this is catastrophic. So either you don't know or you know. But to just come up and he says there was no time for a warning because when they found themselves, they were in the dark. So, Chris, absolute rubbish, absolute nonsense, trying to tell us that the wool over our eyes will work, that Eskom is fully functional. I will never forget our great Minister of Energy frolicking in the snow in Davos, appearing in front of the camera and telling the world that load shedding has been beaten. Katoa, this is now the second time since building snowmen in Davos that we've had a loss of power. So there's no confidence in Eskom. I'm sorry, whatever they are doing. And now we're hearing the word Andre de Ruyter again. And every time that Eskom has a meltdown, people will say, was Andre not right? That ghost to haunt us for a very long time.
Do you think he was right, Neil, after all?
I think he was. I think the hullabaloo and the running around and trashing Andre de Ruyter's name, I have never had the privilege to spend some time, but I know of a person that was very much close to Andre. He was a person that was systematic in solutions, and he did not tolerate anybody to be a fool. His book clearly lays out the disruption, the destruction, and the total depletion of a one state power entity that was a global entity to be reckoned with. So the things that we've heard, the litany of absolute destruction, it seems that that bearing still continues. And Chris, in conclusion on this matter, without a solid, stable power grid, there can be no future for industrialization. There can be no sale of our economic forebearing. And there can never be a situation where this, and Chris, it's the small business. It's the small and medium enterprise business that is suffering. It is not the Pick and Pay. It's not the Woolworths. It's not the ShopRite, because those entities can buy generators. It's not the wealthy that are currently impeded in their lifestyle. It's you and I. It is the person that needs to wake up the kids, put the kids to bed, still go work for the money, which is becoming less, and they just trip the power. Funny enough, there should be a regulation that every bloody minister in this country, whom, by the way, got a generator from us, jingle bells. What should happen is when we cut power, cut theirs. And if they've got to go work, drive into the office, we will then power generate Parliament. Bas Kani, because they burnt and had that burnt and had it seen burnt down. So hulle moet maar 'n tent sit met 'n klein KWA en 'n gaslampie gebruik. That's as far as I've got.
We're only talking about our suffering. That 2% VAT hike that was going to be put before Parliament, and the budget speech that subsequently disappeared.
Chris, I'm going to tell you a litany of travesties of gemors. Rubbish. Let me tell you. This is what the inner circle told me. So a couple of weeks ago, we were told that this country is under financial stress. Really? You and I, in our last great show, spoke about budget deficit, spoke about the country needing to go borrow money. We debated what that knock-on effect will be if they take another 27 billion at the World Bank, that we are increasing the capacity of debt burden. So we have spoken about the impact that foreign-based loans to this country in interest would have. What we didn't know, and what we now know after Cyril Suki does a speech on the economy, and yeah, he did on the economy. And then secondly, the poor Mr. Enoch Kongwana, who now sits there and has no idea how to rebudget the focus of this budget. So, Chris, what happens is a document gets put down, cabinet reads it, they look at the holistic ideology, because remember, it is a budget of government. It is not supposed to be a budget of the ANC or the DA. It's the first ever GNU budget. So you can imagine the pressure, the historic moment that they're going to now table this, and everybody, et mos. Chris, do you know that word mos? It is the most irritating word on earth. I still can't find the origin, because when you give someone a cookie, they go, ek eet mos nie cookies nie. Ach man gaan. So we thought mos, the whole cabinet had insight, and that they agreed into this budget that they proudly would table. Well, nay. It seems that they didn't, because the 2% VAT, taking us from 15 to 70%, seemingly was not discussed in debate. So now we have this walk up to the financial budget to be tabled. In other words, Chris, they're going to tell us what they're going to spend on and what they're not going to spend on. That's the idea of a budget. And it's an important key milestone in any government. And also not just for South Africans, Chris, but the world watches this budget. The world markets, everybody focuses on the deliverance of our promise. Now, here comes the absolute tyranny of utter organization. Rumor has it, Chris, that 5 hours prior to the deliverance of Enoch's budget, President Cyril Suki Ramaphosa is on his way from Johannesburg to Cape Town to come and lead a special cabinet meeting prior to this budget. And guess what? His windscreen of his aircraft cracks.
Sounds biblical.
Ja, gekraak. I mean, can you imagine you are the president of the Republic of South Africa, so-called number one citizen, so-called 84 people having to look after you with motorcades of BMW, Bavaria, and Mercedes, and you get into your aircraft and crack you windscreen. So that apparently happened. They then had to ruffle Sirilki off. I mean, you can imagine the picture. I had really long binkies. Now they've got to drag him on a commercial flight. Can you imagine flying with a communist? So now they probably shuffled him into business class with his 850,445 others, support staff in coffers, and they rush him down to Cape Town. By the time he gets to Cape Town, Akopo Mashatile, who stood in for Cyril, who was treading water, let me quickly tell you, like a fallen rat in a swamp trade with alligators, and probably went, yo, thank you. Cyril walks in, and they have this massive cabinet meeting, okay? And then they find out there's 2% VAT going to be announced. The DA, obviously, caught totally unaware. Another situation, Chris, where the DA sits in Switzerland, and they signing land expiration bills without telling the people. This is skullduggery. Because there was no way that the people like the DA or the IFP or those, they would allow this to go through if they had the full brunt knowledge of it. So the rumor then has it that John Steenhuisen, in actual fact, gets up after finding two ministers of the ANC who also decided that if we table this, it's going to be lambs like a slaughter. So it wasn't just one or two parties that decided that we are going to table a budget that could take us to revolution. So the main contender of saying no was the DA. John drew the line in the sand and said, no, this is not going to go through. And the words are, if you're going to table this budget, you are going to have a shortage of votes to push it through. So, Chris, what you see here is the first ever, in my opinion, battle line, the real one being drawn by this GNU party, so much so that they then cancel it, first time in the democratic history of this country, that budget is now postponed till, I think, the 13th of March. But that's not the question. Where are they going to get the money? He's got to go find the money. And it ain't going to grow on trees. The reason they wanted to put up the 2% VAT, which is a tax on the poor. You see, when you do income tax or you do company tax, Chris, there are people that are viably in the economy. But when you put VAT on the ground, bread has VAT. Milk, VAT. Millies, rice, potatoes. So it's a poor person's taxation. And it is already in a country where we don't have poor people. We have less than poor. So I think this was a bombshell for the ANC in a desperation to find money. Now, Chris, our budget deficit is around about 300 billion rand. That's the current budget deficit. Davie Root, many times I think he's been on this show, he is a well-known economist. Listen to what Davie Root says. Davie Root says that if they had to put up the 2% and increase it to 17%, it is his guesstimation, and I kind of trust Davie's calculations, that the only maximum amount that we would get in would be just on 50 billion rand, which still leaves us with a 250 billion deficit. So, Chris, the question is, I think when they calculated that, they rather stood back because, in their opinion, the fracas that would hit this country would not be worth only being able to raise the 50 billion. And I think there it lies. So very interesting couple of days. Are they going to borrow more money? Are they going to use other taxation? But that this country is in a severe capital cash crunch has been admitted by Cyril, where he says they don't have enough money to start paying certain essential services. And then the poor Minister of Finance forgets to put off his microphone. And when the total press conference is done, he sits there and attacks his own SARS commissioner in a very, very embarrassing moment. So I think there's chaos within the circus. I think everyone is running for the corner pen and the bear is loose. So I'll with my fatfat in the corner. But it doesn't bode well for the country.
No, in more bad news for the ordinary people of this country, Neil, the latest crime stats, 73 murders a day, 131 rapes every single day.
More than what are being killed in a normal warfare situation in Ukraine and Russia. I mean, Chris, let's sit back and think about it. We merely glance over numbers. You know, every time the crime stats come out, the country kind of breathes heavily, saps, puts a spin on it and says it's looking better. The crime stats are coming down. Down from what? Down from a situation where this country's murder per capita rate is worse than in the middle of a fight in a fully declared war. Chris, I will always say that because, as you know, crime intelligence is something that I really am passionate about. And the reason I am is because it's sheer evil. It is dark. It should not exist amongst us. But this country has become numb. It has become numb in the mind and absolutely cold in the heart because it has become a norm. It is normal to see murder. It is normal to see cash in transit and all those other things. So, Chris, I really thought, and so did you, that with the leaving of this absolute idiot, Beki Tavoki Stulki Tsele, that we would get Mchunu to come in, which is a more calculated man, a person that has got a more silent review, known for more action than talk. But unfortunately, you can't fix something that is so broken. Chris, until we don't change the senior management of the police in this country, and I'm telling you to remove them, if we don't get rid of the Tsele legacy, if we don't change the National Commissioner Fani Mazamolo, who thinks it is better to show that he fits into a tracksuit, 5XL, then at the end of the day, we are not going to get ahead of ourselves. 1 point something billion spent by Lusufi on people that are supposed to be his personal police in Gauteng, yet the murder rate has increased. And so has their overall size. So we have to go back to basics. I mean, if you've seen some of these officers, they won't chase a criminal and jump over a Viber Creek. They'll run through the Viber Creek. So at the end of the day, we used to have a policing service that had fitness, culture, understanding, and discipline in themselves. I mean, if you just look at what we've got these days in the parades where we are, there's no discipline. And I know people inside are saying that saluting, striking, standing on attention, and the old warrant officer, you know, that had the little leather stick underneath his arm that chastised at everybody, it's collapsed. Now, Chris, if you can't fix SAPS crime intelligence, SAPS as an organization, then how are you going to fight crime? Buying more buckies, buying more cars, buying more drones, buying more aircraft is not going to help you because you have nobody that can drive the bucky, fly the drone, and lift up a helicopter because we don't even have fuel for our own Griffin fighters. Because it's dismal. And the morale is totally, totally shocking. I mean, there's Ian Cameron that does a surprise. I'll take my hat off to Ian. I do. But I think Ian is fighting a massive onslaught. And, you know, he walked in the other day, surprisingly, into one of our supposed to be elite units, the anti-gang unit. He went there for a sudden inspection, and he walked in there like it was a Mexican cow bar. It was shattered. So, I say, fix the morale, get the discipline back, get these guys back into college, teach them crime prevention and the law, get them fit again, and then ensure that they are deployed on the right manner. And Chris, until we don't do that, it will be 74 a day, horrendous amounts of rapes, child murders that are going on, and it will just not stop if we don't get up and get good leadership to stand up and say no more.
Meanwhile, Neil, back to politics, party politics, the FF Plus has a new leader. Someone you know not well.
Not unpredicted by you and I. I think this week when we prepared for the show, we said the chances that Pieter Groenewald would continue are very slim. And Bob's your uncle, there we are, Corneille Mulder, Dr. Corneille Mulder, new leader of the Freedom Front Plus. A new dawn, I must tell you, Chris. I think you've had a lot of experiences with him. I have dealt with him on many occasions. And may I say, he's one of the few people that when you sit in a room or when you have political discussions, for example, us that were in the multi-party charter, where I would sit back and where he would deliver a segment of a solution or he would do something. Chris, he's one of the few that when he talks, you kind of sit back and go, it's a statesman talking here. He has his agendas. He has his own problems he will have to fight. But he has a demeanor about him. I mean, he is, if I'm not wrong, Chris, he is one of the longest serving members of parliament in the Republic of South Africa.
He served
more than three decades. Now, that's a good and a bad thing. But I will never forget, and he will remember, Chris, I called him one day. He was like my old uncle because he came and I was quite down. At one stage in an election bid. And I was sitting there in my chair, licking my little wounds and my paws, Aina. And he came to me and he said to me, Neil, say, ja, Mkorne. He said, remember, don't let politics get into your head. Be strong at heart, because if you don't, this thing will swallow you alive. He said it in Afrikaans. And he walked away and I went, well, so yeah, I have a lot of affinity for him. And this is a new, can I call, passageway. Because there were a lot of differences, I think, between Dr. Groenewald and Corneille Mulder. Corneille is a vehement supporter of, as you know, Cape Exit. He supports it. He supports self-sustainability and self-governance. Pieter Groenewald does not. So the other question is, will Pieter Groenewald remain a minister? Because now that he's not the leader of the Freedom Front anymore, I think they might keep him that he can see it through, depending on how the thing stands. And now also, Chris, in conclusion on Dr. Mulder, I think the DA is going to sit right up and they're going to have to now understand that the person that was fighting behind the other person is now the person leading that organization. So very interesting stuff coming up, and the dynamic between them and the rest of the parties should be interesting.
Lastly, Neil, I just want to go to the tensions at the G20 in Johannesburg, where the Russian foreign minister was in attendance, but the US Secretary of State not. Have you followed?
Yeah, you know, Chris, there comes a time, you know, I love Cook Sisters. But eight of them in one time is absolutely a killer. Now, I think America is starting to look at South Africa's leadership as a bunch of overloaded Cook Sisters. And they're going, it was lekker, but there's no dessert. So I think every attempt, as I now understand, of delegations. You know, Chris, we are sending delegations. It's as if any of the delegations are going to actually satisfy the United States of America's opinion about the current status quo. It's laughable. And you will remember I was also asked by a group of friends internally, H2A farmers, businessmen that are in Washington, and one or two leaders to also come there. And I said to myself, hoeveel ossewaas will jy nou parkeer op daai lawn? I mean, you can imagine all of us going there. AfriForum, Engels Forum, Solidariteit, Prioriteit, die Voortrekker Monument, Neil de Beer, and the Gazoo of Government. We are all coming there, standing in a queue, and waiting for Trump. And all that guy will say, no, 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 no. And that's what they're going to do. So it's a waste of time. They told us they are not coming to the G20. Their state foreign affairs minister, secretary of state, he's not here. So they sent a minor person as an insult to us. So, Chris, what are we going to say to the United States that we already haven't buggered up? So they know where we are, and they are saying, we, as the United States, don't give a damn. Leave Iran, withdraw your case at the ICJ, declare that you are not supporting Hamas and Hezbollah, and finally, stop telling us that BRICS is your alternative. And then Cyril, he just doesn't know when to stop, Chris. He goes and says that the president of Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky, is absolutely welcome to come and have Cook Sisters in Tynhuis in South Africa. Nou as dit nie vir Donald gaan afpis nie en moerig maak nie, then what else? It's as if you are continually picking on the spots where it hurts. So that is 2 days after, by the way, Donald Trump stopped close to calling Zelensky a terrorist. Now, Chris, here we go. This matter of us and America, no matter who you are, is not going to end until this president of ours comes back to reality. Is not, you know, in my days, Chris, sorry, we had those comic books. You know, we had Reiter en Swart and the Swart Leiper and all of that, and Scope, because they had great articles. But here's the thing, Chris, everybody is sitting here and going, when's the next thing going to happen? So we are sitting here and saying, until that's not done, America's not going to give us the recognition. They are not going to move forward. And I hear Mr. Ronald Lamola in a public statement says that he would love to go with a delegation, but America has not approved dates or times. I think we leave it there, because that sends a very big message to say, dankie, maar nee dankie, nee nee, change your attitude and we might relook you.
Thank you. That was Neil de Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday show with BizNews. And I'm Chris Stain. It was wonderful talking to you today, Neil. As always.
Yeah, Chris. Blessings to everybody, and next Sunday again.